Would you pray with me? O Lord our God, we are so grateful to be in your house this day, to know you and to be known by you, to be able to rejoice for salvation in your name, and to be thankful for the wondrous truth that is that we get to know you, that we get to be loved by you, and to be reassured of your presence with us in all circumstances. We thank you for your grace that is truly amazing, and for the new song that we get to sing as a result of the new name that you have given us. We thank you for redemption and for the new life that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we turn to the Word of God, as we turn to our scripture reading for this day, we pray that you would open our eyes to it, that we would hear a fresh word from it, and would be encouraged by what we hear this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is a special day, a unique day, and I'll get to the reading here from Philippians 4 in a minute. But I want to prepare you for this, because this is an unusual sort of experience that we're going to have this day. This is a day when we think about our global journey. So says the sign out front, so says your bulletin, our global journey. Where are you taking us, Pastor David? Well, we're not going anywhere. We're going to stay right here. You don't have to worry about that. If you don't like flying, that's okay. But as we read from Psalm 96 earlier in the service, all the earth sings praise to the name of the Lord. All the earth sings praise to the glory of God. Our eyes are opened on this day to what God is doing in the world around us. As you may remember, as you may know, as may be new to you today, this coming June in Anderson, Indiana, instead of having our regular North American convention, which is like an annual convention of Church of God people, instead of having that, we are going to have what we're calling a global gathering. Instead of the regular North American thing, we're making it a kind of a global thing. And what has happened is many delegates from 70 or 80 different nations around the world are being invited in to come to Anderson for a week of renewal, refreshment, engagement with each other, sharing stories, sharing burdens, sharing concerns, so that the work that that we do in various parts of the world can be strengthened as the body of Christ in various places. As you may know, as you may remember, as may be new to you today, we as a church here at Mount Haley Church of God are supporting one of these delegates to come to Anderson next June. His name is Sudipta Nanda, and I'd like to share with you a little bit about his life and who he is and where he comes from. So Paul, if you'd flip the next image up on the screen for us. Oops, that's after the Philippians reading. Yeah, I didn't really order that very well for you. So if you'd go straight to the picture of Sudipta and his family. Perfect. That's him on the left. Not on the far left, but that's him on the second from the left. Sudipta Nanda was born and brought up at Cuttack, Odisha, in northern India, one of the states in northern India, to a Christian family. When he was 6 months old, his parents dedicated him to serve the Lord. Kind of like a few biblical characters that might come to mind. Samson was dedicated to serve the Lord, kind of like that. He didn't know what that meant as he was growing up, but he was determined to serve the Lord, and during his college days, Sudipta accepted the Lord as his Savior at a youth retreat, which was held on August 15, 1991. He remembers the date. He went to college and got a bachelor's degree in physics. That was his thing. And at the time, he was very upset about his parents' decision when he was 6 months old, because he wanted to have a good career and make lots of money and not to become a pastor or missionary. His parents, remember, had dedicated him to serve the Lord through his life. So he graduated from college, and around that time, one of his mentors told him, "Maybe you want to run away from God's plan just like Jonah, but rather, you should surrender your plans and desires at the feet of Jesus." So he wandered in the wilderness for 2 years, metaphorically speaking, and eventually applied to a seminary called the Union Biblical Seminary in 95 and began theological studies. After joining this seminary, he was more confirmed about God's call on his life and committed his life solely for the extension of God's kingdom. He finished his seminary studies 4 years later in 1999 and has since pursued a master's degree in management from the Christian Institute of Management. He began his ministry life as a youth leader, reaching out to the lost people in his home area of Cuttack. A youth group was formed under his leadership there, and the group was called Koinonia, a Greek term meaning fellowship. This group became a prominent youth group and was committed to serve the Lord not only in Cuttack, but also in different parts of the state, Odisha, around it. Today, many of those members of that Koinonia group are full-time ministers of God. Sudipta joined an organization called the National Fellowship of the Church of God, an organization of Church of God congregations in northern India. He joined that National Fellowship in 2000, the 1st of January 2000, and is known now as a preacher and teacher of God's Word. His able leadership has helped him to rise through this organization, and he now serves, since 2009, as the National Director of the National Fellowship. This is why I said last week he's kind of the Bill Jones on steroids. He oversees all of the churches in northern India in the Church of God. It means he looks after 17 states in northern India. There are 115 full-time workers that are under his leadership and more than 600 churches. I thought it was just 400, but in his information here, it's 600 churches that he oversees. Today, he passionately moves from place to place in India, reaching people with the gospel, baptizing and mentoring many people, and overseeing the work of church planting in North India. He's also a pastor of one church in Kolkata, India. Sudipta is happily married with Swapna, his wife, and they are blessed with two daughters. Abigail is the girl on the left, she's almost three, and Shekina is the girl on the right, she's almost 1 year old. Swapna, his wife, is also a seminary graduate, and she serves in the Women and Children's Department of the National Fellowship in Northern India. This is the fella. This is, I can say that colloquially, can't I? This is the brother in Christ whom we have been appointed to help sponsor to attend the global gathering in June. Now, this came about several months ago. We as a church approved giving $1,000 to the Church of God Ministries, our organizing group in Anderson. And that is a third of the share of his expenses. Each of the delegates is going to take about $3,000 to get there and back. We are partnering with two other churches, Harvest Point Church of God in Lordstown, Ohio, and Orchard View Church of God in Grand Rapids, Michigan. These three churches, along with us, are each contributing $1,000 to help Sudipta Nanda, not his family, just him, to come to Anderson for this global gathering in June. You might wonder, how did this partnership develop? How in the world does Mount Haley Church of God get connected with churches in northeastern Ohio and on the west side of this state? Paul, this is where I'd like you to flip to the other picture that has yours truly in it. That's me on the right. You might recognize me. The other pastors of these churches are friends of mine. They're seminary friends of mine. But more than that, we're colleagues in ministry. We're kindred spirits. We see the world the same way. We're concerned about the same kinds of things. On the left there is Jonathan Freimeyer. He's the pastor in Grand Rapids at Orchard View Church of God. And then the middle there, Shorty, is, she's so much shorter than us, we're just towering above her. I don't call her that really, but Shannon Neuspangler is a good friend. She is the pastor at Lordstown, Ohio, northeastern Ohio, Harvest Point Church of God. That's the name of the church. Sorry. We are all fresh pastors, new at this pastoring business. And as you'll hear here in just a second, we decided that it would be good for us to join together in this kind of a project to bring Sudipta to the States for the global gathering. We were sitting at last year's North American convention, the three of us were sitting in Anderson, when the call came out from Ron Duncan, our general director, that churches could support delegates to come to next year's event, what is now this year's event. And the call went out that churches might be able to contribute $3,000. And, well, none of us thought that we could do that on our own. But immediately we began thinking from that point on, you know, we could combine our resources to do this together. So today, in each of the churches that we each serve, each of us is preaching this message. This is really cool. This is pretty fun stuff. We are celebrating, all of us, all three churches together, are celebrating right now, sending Sudeeptananda to the global gathering in June. But we realize this is not just something that we've come up with on our own. This is something that is very biblical. So now, we turn to Philippians chapter 4. Paul, you're winning many stars in your crown for keeping up with me today. Philippians 4, starting in verse 10, going through verse 20. Paul writes these words to the church in Philippi. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment. And even more, I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you have sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to hear now, to see and hear now, from each of these two pastors, first Jonathan and then Shannon. Paul, if you'd be so kind, just to get the video rolling.
So why is it important for churches to join together in kingdom work? Well, I think Paul kind of sets the precedent for that to happen. Many churches supported Paul's missionary work, but it was Philippi that we learn in the book of Philippians was the first church that really started contributing to Paul's ministry. And so Paul was grateful for the help, but as Paul continued in his missionary journeys, it took him both to greater challenges and to greater work that needed more help, as well as taking him further away from the church in Philippi. And so giving would have been harder to do in terms of getting the gift from that church to Paul. And so other churches began to join in Paul's missionary journey and in his efforts. And so it lessened the burden on any one church and allowed the churches to work together to support Paul in his ministry. And so that became a model for the early church and has become a model for even us today. And so just like Paul's example, the example of Paul's missionary trips and needing churches to support him, we work with missionaries around the world to spread the gospel in places that we as local churches couldn't go. And so from this specific example of bringing a delegate from India all the way to Anderson for the global gathering, any one of our local congregations would not be able to take the burden of sponsoring a delegate on all by ourselves. But through collaborating and through working together, Orchard View is able to, with the help of Harvest Point Church and Mount Haley Church, to work together to pool our resources to be able to sponsor bringing a delegate to the global gathering. In fact, when Shannon, David, and I heard together that they were looking for churches to sponsor a delegate, we immediately looked at one another and said, my church can't afford to do that by ourselves, but together we probably could. And so this is the result of the work that we've done together, because we saw the precedent in Paul and in his missionary journey into the churches that supported him, that said, we can do this together. And so we trusted in that Scripture says that gives us this model, and so we figured the church is actually kind of designed to function this way. We weren't intended to ever function individually. That's why we gather together as a community of believers in a local congregation. But that doesn't mean that our ministry and our mission stops locally, that we partner together with other churches and with other faith communities to do greater kingdom work, and work that we couldn't do just as a local congregation. So we partner together in order to help sponsor a delegate to bring to the global gathering, so that we begin to function as a community of faith that's bigger than just one person, one congregation, even one state. And so we recognize that we become part of something that's larger than ourselves.
So all of this sounds really good, but what's the end goal? What's the point of all this that we're doing? Well, Paul is writing a letter of appreciation to the people of Philippi, and you see that the work that's been done, the gifts that have been given, are a joy to the recipient. Paul is so blessed by the work that he is able to do through the gifts of the people of Philippi. He can continue to do his work because of their generosity. And not only that, but there's a joy he has in knowing that he's not alone in the work that he's doing for the kingdom, but that there are other people joining with him together for this work. And just like that, as we support Sudipta, he will have joy and appreciation for the opportunity that he may not have otherwise been able to do. We are not just bringing a person from India over to a conference. We are bringing a partner in ministry to connect with the larger church so that then he can go back and continue his ministry there in India. But it is not just the recipient who receives joy from the gift. The giver also receives joy. So when the Philippians see that Paul has been blessed by their gift, they too are given joy. And when we give, when we are generous, we receive joy, because it allows us to be kingdom people. It allows us to be part of something that is larger than ourselves, something that is more than just our individual person, but something that can reach out and touch maybe where we can't be physically. Joy comes in being generous. It comes from being in a place where we are not gaining anything, but where we are just giving, where we are having the opportunity to bless the kingdom of God by what we have and what we have to give. We are allowing God to work through us and to give through us, and that in itself can be a joy. But ultimately, while the giver is blessed, while the receiver is blessed, the reason that we do all of these things is so that God can get the glory. We are working together. We are joining together across states, across the world, and not only that, but across generations, to work with Paul and the people of Philippi to bring about the kingdom of God. When we come together, when we give together and support one another in ministry, we are glorifying God and building the kingdom. We are functioning quite literally as the body of Christ in all its parts, working together for one mission, one purpose, for the glory of God, so that his kingdom might come. We have an opportunity to live as kingdom people, joining together, and it's bigger than any one thing we could do on our own, because when we come together, we build the kingdom of God.
Bringing Sudipta to the global gathering is an act of faith. It's an act of cooperation. It's an act of participation in the work of the Church of God. this event has ramifications beyond what we can imagine. This event will impact the lives of the people who attend church in northern India. But that's just one of the delegates, one of the 70 or 80 delegates that will be attending. Who knows what Christians around the world will learn from Sudipta as a part of their experiences with him in June. But this even affects our own church life here as well. It reminds us that worship of God is to be done through giving generously and through partnering with other people in ministry. We ourselves are not going on this global journey, but this is something that we indeed can own. This is our global journey. So friends, be encouraged this day that this work that we are doing as a church, our resources have already been sent into Church of God Ministries. It's just waiting to happen. The work that we are doing is biblical. It comes out of the practice of Paul in his early ministry. And it is beneficial to those who receive the gift, to those who give the gift, and to the God who inspires it all to happen. And be challenged this day. Let this work be a real life reminder to each of us that we can each serve Christ in our own community by meeting real needs around us. It's precisely because meeting other people's needs brings joy to the recipient, joy to the giver, and glory to God that we can benefit from doing any of this. And as an added side effect of this global gathering business, by practicing this kind of unity in Christ, we are showing how God has set us apart, how God has made us holy to do His work, to do the work of His kingdom. So I'd encourage you in the days and weeks and months to come until the end of June when this event will actually take place, pray for Sudipta and his family, his wife and their two daughters, for the churches that he oversees, for the church that he pastors. Pray for those churches in northern India. Pray for the global gathering and all of those who will attend it in June. By the way, if you have a weekend free in June, it's the last weekend, you could go. There's nothing stopping. It's a lot easier for us to get there than for maybe some other people too. Pray for that event. Pray for Harvest Point Church of God in Lordstown, Ohio. Pray for Orchard View Church of God in Grand Rapids. Pray for their pastors. And look for opportunities to become actively involved in being generous in order to meet the needs that are around you, in order to bring glory to God. It's for that reason that we do all of these things. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we give you glory for the things that you have done and for the things that you will be doing. We look forward with great anticipation to this exercise in church unity that we are engaging in with two sister congregations whom we have never met. But we trust, Lord, that they are rejoicing with us even this day. We look forward to that day in the later part of June when we will celebrate this global gathering event that we have helped to participate in. We pray, Lord, that it would be a full time and that Sudipta and his ministry would benefit from this experience. Make us generous people, more generous people, that we might continue to meet needs around us and so bring glory to your name as we further the work of your kingdom in this world. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.